Welcome in to Light the Lamp here on Duck Stream, our first show post-trade deadline. And who better to have on the show this week than insider Elliot Friedman. Fried, great to have you back with us. Has your screen time gone down? Have you got some sleep? Where are you at?
You know, I have to say, I felt like an 85-year-old last night, Alexis. I actually fell asleep at 9 Eastern. I can't remember the last time I ever did that. I woke up briefly for about 4 a.m. and then I slept again. So I'm getting caught up there. You know, it was the worst time. I didn't even realize it until Saturday night when we were on the air. Ron said, daylight savings time tonight. I had no idea. Like, talk about the worst week to lose an hour of sleep.
Yeah, it's still feeling it this week a little bit, but you know, that's just the way it goes. I watched that.
I knew the rules going in.
I watched that video that the NHL put together that followed you during the deadline. And I heard in it that you sent over probably 500 messages during that day. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's incredible.
Well, you know, first of all, Alexis, to be honest, when the idea first came to me, I didn't know that I wanted to do it. I don't, believe it or not, some people may find this really hard to believe, but I actually don't like that kind of attention. But, you know, we're asking players to do more. Me working at Hockey Night in Canada and the NHL and Sportsnet, we ask people to wear microphones. And the more I thought about it, I was like, I think it's kind of hypocritical for me to say no when other people we ask to do it and they say yes. So I agreed to do it. And the only condition I really had, Alexis, was so the cameraman's a guy by the name of Zach Lazick, who I've known for a long time. I've worked with him quite a bit. I said, no shooting my phone screen or laptop screen, aside from the screen time, which they wanted to get, because, you know, I don't want anyone to know who I'm talking to. I agreed to do it because I thought it was the right thing to do. If we ask others, I got to do it myself. But yeah, I mean, that's what you're doing that day, Alexis. I like the phone. I know I'm a geriatric. I know that makes me an old man. I like the phone. But on that day, like, there's a lot of people who can't talk. So you're constantly sending out texts. And if now in this different age, as I'm sure you and, you know, your friends and coworkers are aware of, is some people are text, some people are WhatsApp, some people are Signal, some people are Telegraph. So between all of that, it was well over 500.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it really is a lot easier just to communicate over the phone. I'm with you on that, because the messaging isn't always the same.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to be very careful. You can miss tone. You can, you know, I know, like, I know people that you get a message and somebody mistypes something and you think someone will say things like, let's just pick something, Truba to the Ducks. And they might actually mean like, did it happen? But if they forget to put the question mark or something like that, you're thinking, what? You're saying Truba went to the Ducks? Like, there are moments that, like, you have to be so careful, especially in this high speed world, that you get everything right.
It's like double checking as a journalist, always making sure all your sources are right in that case, then just making sure what they meant is the same as the message.
Yeah, exactly. And because, you know, I don't need Alex Gilchrist and Pat Verbeek breathing down my neck. So you definitely want to make sure that you get things proper. Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing, like, you know, I think one of the things, and I try to be so careful with this, is that it's a fast world, right? And everybody in our business is competitive, and you want to be first and you want to get it right. And now with Twitter, like, it used to be, you know, if it was for print or your TV show was on a certain time, you know, you had time before your deadline or your show was on to get it done. Now, because of social media, everybody wants it fast. So it creates more opportunities to screw up. And sometimes the toughest thing, Alexis, is just having the self-discipline of saying, calm down, make sure you've got this right. And I'm happy to say I'm not perfect, but I'm better at that than I used to be.
Yeah. Well, you had some big trades to report with this deadline. How did this one kind of compare to more recent years?
It was bananas. Like, this one was pretty bananas. You know, I think, first of all, we had the Rantanen situation basically from like 9:30 Pacific time on Thursday night until the deadline. We had the Rantanen situation kind of hanging over us. We knew that Dallas and Carolina had a deal, but they hadn't worked out a contract. And I think between the moment that got out, Rantanen and his and the Hurricanes and everybody were checking to see, is there another deal we can work out and another contract that we can work out? It was crazy. It really was crazy. That one could have gone a lot of different directions. There were a lot of moves. There were a lot of things going on. And then, of course, there was the Marchand right before the deadline, which was an absolute shocker. I mean, I thought it was possible he was going to get traded. I thought it would be Vegas. I didn't think it would be Florida. And when it was Florida, they show me in that piece you mentioned, me announcing the trade. I'd heard about the possibility about 2 or 3 minutes earlier. And first of all, I was like, really? Florida? You almost didn't believe it.
Yeah.
And then, those 2-3 minutes, they seem like 2 or 3 weeks as you're trying to, you're hoping that kind of nobody beats you to it. It was, I have to say, this was a bananas trade deadline, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there was certainly that Marchand in particular, that was a big shock. I know for me personally, and like you said, a lot of people, but I know that one of the other exciting parts of this was Sportsnet's trade deadline show is the most watched that they've had in history. So congratulations on that, and to you and your colleagues, that's an exciting.
I think that was BXA and Biz. I think those are the guys who, those two ripping each other, I think probably deserve the most credit.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome to see the growth too. I mean, that also speaks to how big of a deadline this was.
Yes. You know what? I think that, these deadlines, Alexis, they're hard on the families and the players. Mm-hmm. I really do try to treat people respectfully. I'm not perfect, but I try. And I know that these deadlines and everything that leads up to it, it's really hard on them. I remember years ago, so the Maple Leafs had a player named Jamie Lundmark. And I can't remember if they were married at the time or they were in a serious relationship, but Erica Lundmark, who was Jamie's wife or partner at the time, she asked to speak to me about how hard that was. And I remember we met at the intermission of a Leaf game and we talked about it quite a bit. And I remember Willie Desjardins' daughter, when he was coaching the Canucks, there were rumors about her dad's job security. And she reached out to me and said, can I talk to you about how hard this is? And I've remembered those two conversations. It can't always be avoided, but I really try to make it as easy on people as I possibly can. But the thing is, there's no question that aside from the games themselves, there's nothing that gets people talking more than player movement. Mm-hmm. So when you have a deadline like this one, where there's a lot going on and there's a lot of things in play and big names happen and big moves happen, people do get excited by that. So it's good for the media who covers. Mm-hmm. It's super hard on the people involved.
With that being said, how do you feel about the teams having games the day of the deadline? I mean, not too long after the deadline ends.
I think it would be better if they could not do it that way. Mm-hmm. I think everybody feels that way, Alexis.
Yeah.
The one thing about the Ducks and your arena, the Honda Center, you guys don't really have another pro team there. So it's a little easier for the Ducks to schedule around things like that, aside from whatever other events might be scheduled in the building. There's a lot of multi-purpose buildings in the NHL. Teams are always, whether it's a hockey game or a basketball game or a concert or whatever it is, these arenas are jamming events into their buildings. They want to make as much money as possible. They want to be filled as much as possible. So it's harder than I think we all kind of realize. But in a perfect world, if you could have no games, I would love it. As a matter of fact, when the company I work for, Sportsnet, got the NHL rights 11 years ago, they proposed trade deadline night, where all the teams it would be like the draft.
Yeah.
All the teams would do trade deadline together and we'd televise it. Mm. And it was rejected, but that would have been an incredible spectacle.
Yeah, that would be really awesome to watch. I'm sure fun for you as well. Maybe a little easier to communicate with people if they're all in the same place. Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, that was one of the kind of made for TV ideas that my bosses, that they proposed, and they really pushed for it. It would have been no games and everybody meets and you do, especially now that we've kind of gone away from the group draft, which I hate. I think that stinks. It would have been great to have a night like that.
Yeah. Especially with that. Well, you mentioned it already a few times, the Ducks, the main trade was Brian Dumoulin to the New Jersey Devils. But what did you make of the Ducks deadline? And obviously a lot of other names on the team have been thrown around, but just overall in looking at how the Ducks fared at the deadline.
Well, I would suspect, first of all, I think overall this year, Alexis, it's been a good year for the Ducks in the sense that you guys played meaningful games longer than anyone thought. Right. Mm-hmm. And you guys were in it. And I remember that lost at home to Saturday night to Chicago. Like, that was a tough one. And I think this is going to be really good for your Carlsons, your McTavishes, your young defensemen like the Zellwegers, Mentukovs, Dostal, who I think is going to be a stud, Zegras, to go through those kinds of games, right? Now, at this time of year, when you're in it and it matters, every game gets harder and you can't have a night off. Like for a team like the Ducks, their playoffs basically started in March. They may not make the Stanley Cup playoffs, but they were playing playoff games in February and March. And I think that's good for your team. I would suspect that your very secretive general manager, who is always in his cone of silence, was working on some bigger things that didn't get done. I have some theories. I won't go too much into them now, but I suspect that he was working on some things that were a little bit bigger. So I think he had a lot out there. Like Dumoulin played really well for you guys. Mm-hmm. It's obvious that Verbeek trusted him. It's obvious that Cronin trusted him. I think that you got, I remember when I heard what the trade was, I was like, wow, that's a good price for Dumoulin. I wouldn't have expected that at the beginning of the year. But between your trust in him and the way he played, that's what you got. It worked out very well for everyone. I would suspect, Alexis, if there's one thing that's kind of the Ducks are sitting there that maybe everybody would have wished they got done was John Gibson. Mm-hmm. I heard there were some conversations going at the deadline. I think we're at a point where the Ducks, Gibson, and the teams involved would like it if everybody could find a solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an interesting time for us here during that week, just seeing what was going to play out. And, you know, in the locker room on the end of Dumoulin, he was very beloved. So that was a hard departure for the group.
Yes. It was like these things are tough. Like, you know, I will say this every year, Alexis, I get more and more people who reach out to me, especially players, like, what are you hearing? You know, what are you hearing? And you don't want to fill people's heads with stuff that it's tough because these are their lives. And, you know, some of them are single guys and it's easier. Like when you're single, you'll do anything, right? Yeah. Like, but when you're married, when you've got kids, it's harder. I will say some of the younger players, like the first time they kind of go through it, it's nerve wracking. I think that's really hard. But I think the other thing too, by Dumoulin getting traded and into a team, first of all, there's a good chance he makes the playoffs and you want to play in playoff games. They put him in a good place. Like, I think if you're the Ducks and you're Dumoulin, you say, hey, these guys took good care of me and you remember that. But I think the other thing it does for the Ducks in particular is you guys had a situation there where either Mentukov wouldn't play or Zellweger wouldn't play. And I think it was tough on those kids. I think they're kids. They want to play, right? So one thing that Verbeek kind of sorted out with that is now both of them have an opportunity to play. And I think the Ducks will be better off in the long run because of that. And so will they.
Yeah, it's been good to see both of them in the lineup now since then. Obviously, tough departure, but good to see them getting the reps as well. In talking a little bit more about the deadline, was there a team that you were kind of surprised maybe they didn't make moves to bolster their roster?
I would say, I don't know if I would say I was. I think Winnipeg took bigger swings than they ended up with. Like, I think they ended up doing very nicely and filling a couple of holes, mm-hmm. but I think they tried some bigger swings. I think Vancouver tried some bigger things too and hoped to do some bigger things, especially for a forward. They didn't. That's another team, I might say. And you know what? I would say this. When I heard Marchand was going somewhere, I thought it was probably Vegas. And when they sent out that tweet about 10 minutes before the deadline that said hi, I think we were all expecting something from there. So I don't necessarily blame Vegas for not doing anything bigger. I think we're just used to Vegas mm-hmm. doing bigger things that we were kind of surprised it didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an interesting time seeing Vegas put that tweet out. We were all wondering with the Florida Panthers now, their roster heading into the postseason. You know, are they going to make a run in your eyes again?
I think so. Yeah. Like, I think there's two divisions. Like right now, Alexis, it looks like Colorado and Dallas are going to play in the first round. Mm-hmm. And in the Atlantic Division, two of Toronto, Florida, and Tampa are going to play each other in the first round. And one of the things I always try to think about now is it's not when you lose in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's who you lose to. Because we don't do 1-8 and we have this unique kind of division system here, like if Dallas and Colorado play in the first round, one of those teams is going out, right? Mm-hmm. And does that mean that they're a loser that lost in the first round of the playoffs? Or does that mean they just got one unbelievable matchup that could be a Stanley Cup final? And they got knocked out at that point. Like, I'm going to look at the same thing with that. Whichever those three teams play each other, Tampa, Toronto, or Florida, someone's going out there who's a really good team because of the way this is set up. So one of the things I think about now is not necessarily when you lose in the playoffs, but who you lose to. Mm-hmm. And I think that because of this league, the way the playoffs are set up, I really think that matters. Like that first round of the playoffs, they better not put like that 2-3 matchup in the Atlantic and that 2-3 matchup in the Central against each other. Like, give me a separate night where I can watch both of those series.
Need a little bit of time to take it in.
Yes. Like I don't want to have to watch both of those together. Yeah. I will be an unhappy man if I have to watch both of those together. I don't know about you, Alexis. I'm one of those people. I have my iPad. I have my screen. I have my laptop. I like to concentrate on one game at a mm-hmm. time. I don't like to watch 12 games at once.
I'm with you. My attention span, it's hard to also really watch when you're trying to watch multiple things.
Yeah, I'm with you too. Like you miss, like I'm with you. I have a terrible, like I have a, like just last week, it was your night when you guys were playing the Blackhawks in that Saturday night game. I looked up and I'm like, oh, Bedard's wearing the A. And I said it on my podcast and the Blackhawk fans are like, you dummy. He's not wearing the A. And I was like, what was I thinking? And I looked up and I already lack the details as it is. I don't need any more problems.
Keep it simple. Yeah. Yeah.
Keep it. The old line is KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. That's what I always try to remember.
I like that. Talking about the Dallas Stars a little bit more. I mean, huge pickup in Rantanen. They've got their their Finnish mafia. We're used to the Swedish mafia here, but their Finnish mafia in Dallas. What do you make of what the Stars have now? Do you think it's enough pieces to get to the final?
I do. I mean, like I actually haven't done it yet, but I always keep a list at the beginning of the year, like who do I think can win the Stanley Cup? And then I'll cut it out or I'll add to it depending on what, like during the year. And I always add to it at the end of after the trade deadline. Like, what am I looking at right now? Like in the West, I'll just, you know, I'll check my standings so I don't miss anybody. Let's just do this here with you right now. Right. Like, who do I think can win the Stanley Cup? In the West, Winnipeg, Dallas, Colorado, Vegas, Edmonton. Like, those are my five teams in the West that I think could win the Stanley Cup. Now, you guys won't be upset that I didn't mention the Kings. You guys will be really happy about that. Maybe some people in Minnesota will be upset. I don't know. But I see five teams in the West that if you told me they could win the Stanley Cup, Jets, Stars, Avalanche, Golden Knights, and Oilers, I would not be surprised. Like, I, and that's like, that's a big list for me. I don't know if I usually have five teams in one conference I think can win it.
Talking about the East, I want to hear your thoughts on the Columbus Blue Jackets, the season that they've had and how they've rallied around each other.
Well, you know, there's a lot of debate about the Hart Trophy right now. There's a lot of talk about MacKinnon. There's a lot of talk about Draisaitl. As far as I know, I have a vote. If I've had it taken away from me, nobody's told me. I got to tell you something, Alexis. If Columbus makes the playoffs, I'm going to give a lot of thought to Zach Werenski as my Hart Trophy guy. Mm. And, you know, I think, you know, as we sit here today, as we record this, they're 2 points in. I'm looking at the tiebreak. They have a slight tiebreaker edge over Montreal. Like, the team that's scary there with the tiebreakers in the East is the Rangers. They have a huge advantage over everybody else. And if they figure it out, and everyone's going to have to beat them to get in. But I think this Columbus season is incredible for all the right reasons. I think if we would have gone back to the beginning of the year, we would have had no expectation of them because of everything they've been through. But, you know, I think in hockey it's proof. And I think it's always true that it's a true team. Like, you cannot win the Stanley Cup unless it's a team. And, you know, I don't think Columbus is going to win the Stanley Cup or anything, but they're a true team.
Yeah.
Monahan gets hurt and Fantilli plays great and all those guys. Merzlikins has found himself again. But to me, Werenski has been the epitome of what a great player and a leader is supposed to be. And I think it's a tremendous story for all the right reasons, and it's very hard not to root for them. That might get me my Canadian card ripped out because Montreal is chasing them, but it's very hard not to root for Columbus.
I think you get a pass there. It is hard not to root for
good.
Them. Yeah. Especially after watching the excitement around the stadium series and just how they had all of Ohio there for that one. But just it's hard not to cheer for them this season too. Yeah,
I agree. I mean, I like watching them play. I also, you know, Evason, like, you've dealt with them in the Western Conference a bit. He's a riot to watch behind the bench too. He always looks like he's about to like burst an artery or something like that. He's the one intense guy.
Yeah. Oh, another thing I wanted to ask you about, the recent Four Nations face-off, quite a success for the NHL. Yeah. What did you think about how that all played out? You were there, I'm assuming, as well?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was there. I mean, I loved it. I thought it was great hockey. There was really only one game that turned into a blowout. And even that one, the USA-Finland game, it was closed for 45 minutes. So you really can't complain about the quality of hockey. The Tkachuk brothers, they did a lot of good for the league. Like that, that situation where they set up the fight with they said, we're going to fight. Like, that brought so much publicity to the game. Even though they didn't win the U.S., I thought the Tkachuk brothers helped take the whole event to another level. I thought it was phenomenal hockey. Like, I'm a proud Canadian. I'm glad Canada won, but there wasn't a big margin of difference between them and the Americans or much of anyone else. I'll say this, like, from a hockey point of view, everybody showed up to play. Like, there were no passengers here. But the other thing, Alexis, it reminded me of is that if you want to win in this league, any team, your best players have to be committed to playing both ways. Mm. McDavid said that he was disappointed with the way he played. I disagree with him. Mm. Now, he doesn't care what I think, but I disagree with him. The whole U.S. team was built to stop him. Mm. Their whole existence was, we have to stop him. And everybody on that tournament could skate, and everybody, like, so one of the referees, I was joking that the referees were afraid to call penalties because there were so few penalties called in the event. And one of them reached out to me, and he was a little bit mad, but we kind of had a funny conversation about it. He said, you know what? I disagree with you. And I said, okay, state your case. And he said, everybody in that tournament could skate, and everybody in that tournament was committing to buying into what was being asked about them. So they were always in great position. Like McDavid, like normally in an NHL game, there's some great players. I mean, in the NHL, if you're an NHL player, you're a great player, but you're not at that level, right? And he can find the weak links and get through them. There was nobody there like that. And they were all playing the system as they had to play. And I thought he played great in the fact that he didn't give up, and he kept battling until he scored the winner. So that's what really stood out to me watching it. If you're not a team that's committed to skating hard and playing hard both offensively and defensively, you cannot win. Like, you cannot win. And that's what that tournament, there's a whole bunch of superstars, and they were all committed to playing hard both ways.
It was awesome to watch that. And it really gets you excited for what's to come with the Olympics next year. It feels like it was a good setup for that.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there won't be fighting in the Olympics. Like, they don't allow that. It'll be kind of a different game. But I'll tell you, like, I've been really lucky, Alexis. I've seen a lot of really incredible things. That night in Montreal, like, the first fight, the place went bananas. The second fight, the place was still went bananas. The third fight, it was like nobody had any energy left in the building, but they were still going bananas. And then they gave JT Miller the extra penalty. It was like the referee said, okay, now it's time to play hockey. But like that night, and it was such a great game, the US won, but it was such a great game. Like, that is one of the best nights I've been fortunate enough to be at in my career.
That's awesome. Preach, do you have anything exciting coming up in the next stretch as we look ahead to the end of the regular season?
Well, so we have the GM meetings next week in Florida. So I'm sure Pat will be looking for me there. And, you know, so I always kind of look at that one because you work, but you get a little bit of sun. So it's nice. You know, I'll start taping some playoff previews coming up. I'll probably go to Edmonton to tape some stuff. I'll probably go to Winnipeg and tape some stuff. And we'll see here. And, you know, and then there's I always take a week off before the playoffs, like just to kind of recharge. And, you know, my wife is a huge Grateful Dead. She's a Deadhead. And they're playing the Sphere in Vegas. So I'm taking her and my son to go see the Grateful Dead in the Sphere. It's you know, Alexis, like our partners or significant others in this business, they put up with a lot. I've seen you. I know how hard you work, and hockey is not a normal schedule. So sometimes you have to reward them, especially my wife's been married to me for 15 years, which is like a fate worse than death. So you got to make her feel appreciated from time to time.
Will that be your second time in the Sphere then after the draft?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. The draft and then this, but so, and my son who's 13, he loves concerts. He's a big music guy. He plays the piano. He used to play the drums. So, it's a reward for putting up with me, Alexis. Yeah. That's what I would say.
Well, enjoy that time. And Preach, thank you so much for joining us today. We're looking forward to the end of the season, the playoffs, everything that's to come, and looking forward to your work as well.
Thanks very much, Alexis. I'm sure I'll see you at the draft since it's nearby.
Yep.
Okay. And if I don't see you before then, I will see you at the draft. Okay.
That's good. Thank you.
Take care, Alexis.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.